The sermon text is taken from 2 Corinthians. While it is based on verse 5, it is perhaps appropriate that we read or consider verses 1 through 6 for the context. So allow me to read for you verses 1 through 6, bearing in mind that verse 5 is the actual theme verse for the message today. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, reading verses 1 through 6. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of it, to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
I want to begin with a little correction of my last message. If you would recall, I preached from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I read the list of sins that Apostle Paul mentioned in verse 9 and 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in verse 10 we read, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers. Now I read that word as revelers, and I stand corrected, and thank God for this opportunity to correct myself. So please take note, it is not revelers, but revilers, those who revile the name of God. Now, we will come to today's text, and 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul wrote, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Apostle Paul was a great servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone has anything to say about the great victories, the great success that God has given in the ministry of the gospel, I believe it is Paul. And Paul has really a lot to say about the victories that the Lord has given to him. Nonetheless, he do not want to display any of those things as his own achievement. In fact, in the context from chapter 2, verse 15 onwards, you will see Apostle Paul was trying to recollect the things that the Lord has achieved through him. Now, maybe you can look at verse 14 of chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And he said, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. He was talking so happily about the victories that Jesus Christ has given to them. So he says, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. And he went on to say in verse 15 of chapter 2, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Now look, in verse 16, he goes on to say the same things about the victories and the blessings the Lord has given as a sweet savor in Christ Jesus. And then, at the end of verse 16, he asks a question. And the question is this, and who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient for such a triumph as that which we have experienced in life? Dear friends, the more wonderful the work, the more intense the inquiry. Who is sufficient for these things? Who can breathe eternal life to those who seek it? Who can proclaim the condemnation of death to those who reject the word of life? Who can turn hearts of stone into hearts of flesh? Who can write without ink on the hearts of the hearers? Who can so write that it is written forever in our hearts? Who is sufficient for these things? The more we study the way in which God has achieved great things through His servants, the more we realize all of them are the works of His grace. It's the work of God's grace through His ministers. The more we do, the more we are forced to ask, who is sufficient for these things? Who is able to raise those who are dead in sins and trespasses? Who can subdue the proud will of man? Who can enlighten a darkened soul? Who can deliver men from the fascinations of sin and Satan to bring them out of darkness into God's marvelous light? Who can turn rebels into the sons of God? Who is sufficient for these things? Who is able to be a minister of the gospel? Who can say, I'm fully capable to be a preacher? And which minister who has done much in the name of Christ can say, I have done it all by my strength? Who is sufficient for these things? Having asked the question, Paul tried to answer it in the following verses, particularly in chapter 3, in the text that we have before us. He's trying to answer this question. It's not easy to do those things. It takes certain amount of ability to carry out the work of God. But the fact is that no man is able to do it. Nonetheless, God has given strength, wisdom, and grace to equipment to do the work that he himself cannot do, that a man cannot do. So he replies to his own inquiry, who is sufficient for these things, in our text. Firstly, I would like to speak to you concerning this answer that Paul has as an answer from his own life experience. And in that regard, a message to all those who serve God, especially in full-time preaching of God's word. And secondly, I would like to apply this to individuals. And then thirdly, to the life and ministry of our churches. Who is sufficient of these things, or for these things? Well, as I said, sufficiency is not of us. Please look at verse 5 of chapter 3. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. The best preacher asserts his insufficiency in this passage. Let every preacher of the gospel, every teacher of God's word, take note. The great apostle Paul says very clearly, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Remember who is saying this. It is Paul, the one who was called to be an apostle, to whom the Lord Jesus had personally appeared, a man of singular zeal and activity, a man of remarkable ability in expounding God's truth. He was not a whit behind the chief of the apostles. He was an excellent expounder of God's truth. He was a founder of churches, a father of myriads of souls. And yet he says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. He was then the one who wrote this epistle. He is not a beginner in the holy oratory. He is not a new person on the pulpit. He is a well-exercised, well-experienced evangelist. He had been taught of God deeply. He had preached the word of God fully. He had gained an experience that cannot be rivaled. Beginning with his marvelous conversion at the gate of Damascus, going through sufferings, persecutions, journeys, labors, he had become a man of great influence and great understanding. Though now he is dead, yet he speaks so loudly to all of us through his wonderful writings in the New Testament. His writings are truly our fascination. We embrace Paul's writings with such love, such affection. To me, Apostle Paul is a great hero. Of course, my greatest hero is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But next to Christ, in my heart, I adore Paul because he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had such passionate commitment to the cause of the gospel. And I often pray that the Lord would make me a true follower of Paul because he followed Jesus Christ without fail. What a great man! And it's so amazing to hear from his mouth a confession such as this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Now that gives me great encouragement at the same time, because if a great man like Paul, a man whom I adore as I read his epistle, can tell me it got nothing with me, it has nothing to do with me, then I said, oh, that's what I think about myself all the time. Praise God. What a great confession. Ministry is not of me, not of my natural abilities, not of ourselves. All glory be to God for this great confession. I cannot leave this point so quickly. The point that the best preacher says is insufficient for the work of God. Why? Because he said more than that. Please look into the text. Verse 5. This is what he said. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. He not only said that we are not sufficient of ourselves, but he went on to say, even to think anything as of ourselves. He was saying, there is no way I can allow my mind to think that some things that I have done were really my own. He said, no. I cannot even think of anything that I have done in the name of Christ as of myself. He did not feel sufficient for anything at all. I think our good old translation of King James Bible, as good can be, so well translated, we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. He says, I can't even think that I'm sufficient for anything. Let every preacher understand this. When he climbed the pulpit, he speak nothing of himself. Blessed is a preacher who know this great truth, that he preaches from his mind, not because he can create or can have some new original ideas. Today the world is after men who seem to give them new ideas, new thoughts, new perspectives. Cursed be the thought. Cursed be the man who thinks that he has a new message, better than what is already revealed by God. Even this letter that Paul wrote was not of himself. He said, I'm not sufficient of doing anything at all. Even this letter that I write is not of me. I'm not sufficient. It is of God. When our Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, you know what he said about the things that he taught? This is what Jesus said. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Jesus never spoke anything as it of himself, but it is as of the Father. He never spoke anything in disagreement with the Father. What do we think about the teachings that the Holy Spirit brings to us through the Word of God? It is not of the Holy Spirit himself, as though it is separated from the Father and the Son. Now Jesus Christ said of the Holy Spirit's teaching and guidance, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. If this was true when Christ ministered on this earth, and now the Holy Spirit ministers to us, how dare a preacher climb the pulpit and think he got new ideas? You know, please look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Here Paul warns all of us as part of his thought about sufficiency in the ministry. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. His preaching ministry was absolutely grounded in the perfection of God's word. He never took the word of God in his hand thinking that I need to comment on it. And my comment is very important because I come from a prestigious university, being trained by some brilliant minds. When I hear preachers talking about the brilliant minds that educated them, I get very scared. I rather hear preachers saying, oh, I knelt before my great God and he taught me wondrous things out of the law. That's the kind of preachers we need. We need no man who thinks he is capable of giving new thoughts. In fact, sadly, unfortunately, Our time is a time when pulpits are filled with men who like to give new ideas of their own. And they search the ancient wisdoms of heathen religions. And they borrow their ideas and mix it with the gospel and preach a new gospel. They scorn the old gospel of Jesus Christ. They laugh at its clarity, its strength when it speaks. They despise its uniqueness, its preciseness, its authority. They teach us not to think the Bible the way it says, but think differently. Find new ideas in the Bible. God forbid. If any preacher thinks that he can speak what he thinks about the Bible, I want to tell you, he is a preacher from hell. No matter how smooth he will talk. Oh, let every preacher know. Oh, let every preacher confess before God when he stands before God's people to preach. Lord, I have nothing but that which you would give me. It is significant. Without which, we will never have a preacher from God's throne. Once again, I want to say a little bit more about this wonderful statement that Apostle Paul has concerning his insufficiency. He said, in every point, I'm insufficient. And that would mean, as a whole, I'm insufficient. There is nothing in the ministry, nothing at all, that I do on my own. Not only the message, even the things that I carry out, the way I walk from street to street, the way I put up with persecution, the way I think of new areas or new gospel mission, everything I do, all of them, is of God. How important this is. Because sometimes we tend to become very proud of ourselves even after preaching a very biblical sermon. We might have preached a very biblical sermon, but then if our attitude becomes, oh, it's all of me, I'm the man, then of course we are saying that I'm capable. How important it is that, as Reverend Timothy so often remind his students in FEBC, we must be a people of humility. Humility, humility, humility. And so often I heard that while my days of studies in FEBC. How true. How true. When a man thinks that he is humble, he ceases from being a humble person. We got to admit, everything we do, it is of God. This is especially true. This is especially true, let me say, to all preachers and students of Bible college who are preparing to be preachers. It is especially true of us. Because we see, we represent God. We say that we are ministers of the Word of God. Oh, how important it is that we declare in our preaching and in our mannerism that it is not of us. It is of Him. Preachers, let's also remember, this is not a statement of sad resolve not to work. It is not pulling away from the gospel, saying that, oh, I can't do anything, I'm not good. But this is a reality we accept and then look to the sufficiency that God gives to us. This is not a time for us to say, oh, I am nothing, so I can't do anything. You know, if you do that, if you do have that attitude, you know what does it mean? You think that gospel work is of you. If you believe that gospel work is entirely of God, then a preacher must know, even when he feels that he is not up to the mark, he is not able to contribute, he must rely on God's power. Because he knows that God is the author and finisher of faith. He is the one who calls us. He is the one who equips us. You know, that's why he said in the second half of verse 5, but our sufficiency is of God. So, when a preacher of the Word of God, when a minister of God in the church realizes his insufficiency, he must run to God saying, Lord, I need Thee. My sufficiency is of Thee. The work demands such a great ability, such great wisdom, such great patience, such great determination, such wisdom, such as I don't have, but it is with Thee. So I come. All that I need is Your blessing. It's enough for me to know that You will help me. And so he says, all must be of God. Our doctrine must be plucked out of God from His Word. We should never speak anything against this or in doubt of this. This is sufficient. This is sufficient. Our preparation and delivery of the message, the choice of words for utterance, the very tone, even the feeling that we have on the pulpit must be of the Spirit. You know, it's so easy, I tell you as a pastor, so easy to be carried away by anger. The other day I was preaching in my church. I saw a young man sleeping right in front of me. And that was the third week in a row. I reminded the youths on several occasions, be careful. If it's an older person, an elderly person, I understand. If it's a sick person who is on medication, I understand. A young man in his teens, he is awake when I went up the pulpit. But as soon as I started, he didn't even bother to open the Bible, puts his Bible by the side, and leans back, opens his mouth, goes to a dream world. It happened 3 times in a row. Imagine what came to my heart. Better don't preach. If I'm going to put these people to sleep, I better don't preach. I said to the congregation, there are some people who have... I didn't name the name of the person. So there are some people who constantly sleep in the church. If they want to sleep, why don't they stay home? This is what I said. Why do they come to church? Then I said, if any of you see someone sleeping next to you, can you gently nudge the person? Then I looked down. 1 minute passed, I think. Looked up. the person is still sleeping. I can't preach. And I question myself, Lord, is it I'm getting angry? If it is my anger, I can't preach. I'm getting very, very frustrated. I looked down. I stayed that way for another minute. I looked up. He's still sleeping. And the person sitting next to him, look at him. And then look at me. And still will not wake that person up. So I was thinking, how can these people fulfill the one another passages in the Bible? Love one another, correct one another, rebuke one another, build one another up. I wonder whether the fellow is praying that he will wake up. It looks like he is not at all affected by what's going on around him. I didn't preach. I still look down. I can't. I just can't. The third time I look up, I saw the man sitting behind came forward and nudged the fellow. Teacher, what happened? What happened? I suppose that's what he said. I looked straight at him and went on with my preaching. He didn't sleep. Next Lord's Day, he came, sat right in front, wide awake, praise God. You know, as a preacher, sometimes I wonder whether my emotions are guided by my own feelings or it is of God. I'm a preacher who doesn't believe that I can put people to sleep and send them home. Sometimes I tell the people in the church, you know, I'm not Apostle Paul. There was a young man who listened to Apostle Paul. He fell asleep and he fell down and died. I said, if any of you die, I can't wake you up, all right? And I will conduct your funeral. So don't sleep. Well, some people said, Pastor Kushi, because Gethsemane BP Church worship service is in the afternoon, so people are more sleepy. I said, I understand that. I want to be gracious. Nonetheless, don't you think the things of God are so wonderful to hear? Don't you watch if there is a Liverpool-Manchester United match in the afternoon? Don't you be so glued to the TV if there is an American Idol final in the afternoons? This is what we see with our young people. But why is that they are so disinterested at times? Well, I'm not here to talk about sleeping during sermon, but I'm just telling you the kind of feelings that can grip a preacher when he is up the pulpit. Then I look around the congregation, I see, that's the fellow that's been playing a fool. And I hear stories about him. Well, he's there today. Wonder why is he here today? And see somebody else who gossip about me. No, nobody there, but I just pointed that way. And then I think, oh Lord, what is she thinking? Oh, what is he thinking? And then I look this way. Oh, praise God. That brother has been coming. He's quite appreciative. But I wonder when he is going to turn against me. There are a lot of thoughts going. At the same time, I'm trying so hard to preach the text before me faithfully. Weariness of the body and the mind also creep in. Who can do this work? Who can? It is of God. Dear congregation, you must preach for all your preachers. You've got to pray for them. It's not easy to do anything at all in the work of the gospel of himself. It must be of God. Our sufficiency is of God. Praise God! We can trust him for such perfect sufficiency. It is sufficiency. How wonderful it is that a minister of the word can have such great hope. Now, I did not describe the struggles of a preacher or a pastor to scare some young person who is called by God into the ministry. I'm not trying to scare you away, but you need to know it's not in you, but it is in God to fulfill your calling. And we need such men who understand the insufficiency of every man, but truly having the confidence in God's power to equip and fulfill the ministry. May I quickly speak to all the members of the church? You may not be in the ministry, but dear friends, don't you need also God's sufficiency? If you ever think that you have been doing the things that you do at home, at work, let me tell you, it's time for you to say, I will never think any of these things as my own. Trust not your own sufficiency. Even bend down to pick up a leaf, you need God's sufficiency. Because if you bend down to pick up a leaf, you may not be able to rise up. My mother wanted to visit me last year, and I was looking forward to her coming. I got a visa for her to come from India, and I bought the tickets, and she was all excited. And she decided, you know, she has lots of plans that she planned around the house. She is a wonderful gardener. She likes to do that. And because all the children are away, no grandchildren at home, she look after the plants as though they are her children. That's how much she loves it. Now, she has to go away for 2 months, so she decided to keep them all at one place, in a shady area. And so she was trying to do it. She bent down to remove a flower pot. Suddenly her knee buckled. She fell, and the place she standed was a concrete area, and her knee crashed. And she didn't realize that the knee is already broken. She tried to stand up. Again, she fell. And the kneecap was shattered. And she never came to visit me since then. Now she's learning to walk. How feeble we are. Even the regular things that we do cannot be repeated if it is not from Him. Even familiar things that you do, you can't do again without God's help. How we all need to learn to be humble. How we all need to ascribe everything that we achieved to the Lord and to the Lord alone. There are people who think it's the luck that brought them this, or certain things that they keep in the house is what make their business prosper or their achievements greater. No. It's nothing of yourself or anything of this world. Our sufficiency is of God. The great Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon Empire. You know, when he moved around in his palace, when he saw the glory of Babylon, he pride in himself. And the result was that God struck him. And he had to eat the grass of the field like a beast. Let none of us ever look at the things that we have received from God's hand and say, oh, it is of me. It is very dangerous. So, my dear friends, do not ever trust in your own ability, because if you don't look at those abilities as it is of God, you are actually stealing God's glory And that's of great danger. Are you in any form of difficulty in life? Are you finding it difficult to keep your philosophy functioning in your business? You know, you probably last 20 years, everything was working well for you. And you said, oh, I got a marketing strategy. You know, it worked for me last 20 years. That's why I'm prosperous. Now all the strategists of the world are scratching their head. And for us Christians, it's time to re-examine ourselves. It's time to re-examine ourselves. To see and acknowledge that we are nothing. Our strategy worked because God blessed us. That's all. That's all. Not because our strategy in itself is great. This morning, I had a little time after my preparation and prayer. So sometimes I try to turn on the TV to watch the news. And I didn't watch long, just the main headlines. So the first thing I saw on BBC was the special surveys they are having for the people who perished in the recent fire. And I heard one lady, I can't even recall who it was, she was saying something to this effect. There are forces in this nature that we can never conquer. There are things that undo our expertise. And that's what she said. Firefighters were desperate to apply everything they have learned. And many of the firefighters who fought that fire in Melbourne were experienced firefighters. For the past many years, they have put down many fires around them. But this time, they have been engulfed by a fire which defeated them. And they licked the ashes. And I tell you, dear friends, no man is an expert about the things of this life or the world to come. We all must humble ourselves and acknowledge our insufficiency and say, God, Thou art God. Thou art the all-sufficient one. I need Thee as my God. And be my God. Let me speak to the church as a whole. True Life BP Church, know this. You should never entertain a man who thinks that he is self-sufficient to do God's work. Either in your pastorate, or in your eldership, or your deaconship, or in fulfilling the roles of teachers in Sunday school, or in any other area. Your committees should not be filled with men who think that they are capable of themselves. It's a sin, despicable in the sight of God. You pray that your church and all the sister churches that stand on God's word will have men who say nothing of himself, but everything as of God. Pastors, preachers, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, committee members. This is what we need. Then only God will be the God of salvation in our midst. Then people will come to seek God, not famous men. This is not a club. This is not a fraternity around some secular activity. This is not a club for people of similar interests to come together. It's not a place of hobby and entertainment. It's not a place for performance. It's a place for God to be God.
is His church. And every man is a servant. Only because God has called him to be a servant. Only because God has equipped him to be a servant.
And next, let the church remember, we do not want to hear any preaching that make the word of God corrupt. We don't want to hear any preaching that speak of the gospel of Jesus Christ as insufficient. We don't want to have any activity that make us think that we've got to do all this extra stuff so that gospel may have more power. We must have preachers, doctrines, activities that believe that the gospel is the power of God. And we must not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. So doubt not, my dear brethren, God's flock, the sufficiency of the gospel we believe, we adhere to, we preach, we practice. May God grant us grace to acknowledge our insufficiency and at the same time trust in His sufficiency. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, forgive us for times we have thought of ourselves as men who are capable of things. Forgive us for times when we have thought of our achievements in this world as of ourselves. Forgive us for not giving you thanks and praise for the things we were blessed with. Forgive us for abusing the goodness that you have shown toward us to further our selfish passions. Grant us your forgiveness and cleansing. Teach us to be humble. Humble us, O Spirit of God, we pray. Rebuke us anytime when self-glorifying thoughts creep into our hearts. Rebuke us sharply, we pray, lest we may exalt above what we really are. We have no place before thy sight, O great God. We are despicable people, rebels. We have no glory in ourselves. We are like the grass that withereth and the flower thereof that falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is a word by the gospel preached unto you. Thank you for the word that we heard today, that thou art a sufficient God. We come to thee from our nothingness to be filled with thy glorious power, with your beauty, with your wonderful graces. Grant it to us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.